读经的时间 ，now is the scripture reading. The scriptures today is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Right. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit.No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame,whatever. And now he is there in the place of honors, right alongside God. When you finish yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he powered through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. So the message from God today is passing the baton. That'sWelcome, Pastor Matthew.
Good morning. There.It is so wonderful to see you, and it's so great to be here in person this morning. Thank you for the invitation to join you on this beautiful Sunday. And Pastor, congratulations on your ordination that is upcoming here in a couple of weeks. I'm just so excited for you. Yes, congratulations. May that be a truly blessed day for you. It's just really a wonderful thing. I wish that I could be here along with you that day. Just ended up with a speaking engagement on that same Sunday morning. But I appreciate you, and I know the church here loves you and appreciates you very much, for sure. Well, this morning, I'd like to share this message with you.Called Passing the Baton. And you know that we're in the midst of the Olympics. They just opened in Tokyo on Friday evening. Have any of you tuned in to any of the Olympics yet and watched any of them? Okay, a few people have watched some of the Olympics. Are you planning to watch them if you haven't already started watching them? You could stay glued to your television almost 24 hours a day and watch the Olympics over the next number of days. There are so many events. There are some of them, though, that are my favorites, some of them that I really enjoy. Which ones do you like to watch? And, of course, I've got some pictures up here of a variety of events that take place during the Summer Olympics. We couldn't have them last year.Because of the pandemic, so they've been moved to this year, this summer. So there's running events, of course, there's the gymnastic events. I love watching how talented some of these young people are on the bars and balancing and doing these tumbles on the floor. I couldn't do that even when I was young. of course, volleyball and basketball. I love watching volleyball. I don't know why I love watching volleyball. Soccer, the cycling, the swimming, so many different events. I don't know if you have some that are your favorites to watch. And as I was thinking about this message this morning, I didn't realize that I was planning this right in the midst of the Olympics, and then I kind of put two and two together because I had the idea, and then I went, oh, that's perfect because the Olympics are going on. And so passing the baton is... A good message for us to think about this morning. The Olympic Games first originated in Greece. And we get the Olympics from the town or the city of Olympia. And that's where they were passed on. So, and they actually started a long time ago in 776 BC. So that was before my time. My grandchildren might not think so, but it was before my time. There were other games that happened in Greece as well. There were games that happened in Corinth, and there were games that happened in Athens as well. Paul the Apostle and some of the disciples would have been familiar with the Corinthian games because they were actually taking place during their lifetimes. And so they actually referred to these games within the scripture itself. So they talked about the boxers, said, when you fight, don't fight like one who's beating the air, in other words, practicing, but land those punches against the evil in the world. They talked about running in the race and how an athlete trains. So they referred to the Olympic Games in the scripture. So they were very familiar with it and applied it to the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it's mentioned there about the race that we're in. It likens our lives to being in a race. I don't know how many of you like to run. Does anybody here like to run? Okay, two people. sometimes exercising and running can be hard work, but it's good for us. It's good for us to get up and move. We have my mother-in-law living with us now. She's 86 years old. We moved her from Denver into our home, and it's hard for me to get her to walk to the mailbox with me. She doesn't even want to walk that far, but it's good for her to get out and to walk and to use her body. So Hebrews 12:1 pictures the Christian as a runner, surrounded by a great multitude of people, like in the stands, cheering us on, saying, go, run this race. And so it pictures us like that. Although each of us Christians are responsible for our running, I'm responsible for the race that I run. In a way, as I got to thinking about it, our race is not just an individual sport. For me, it's not just a sprint, but maybe it's or even a marathon, but maybe it's a little more like a relay race, that I'm in this with other people, and we're part of this together. So that's where I think the relay race, you got to have those four people in that relay race to make that thing go, and you can't win without all of them. You need all of them in order to win that race. So our race is not just an individual event. It's more like a relay race. Hebrews says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. The version we read said kind of strip down, and that's what the runners would do. You notice that they don't wear a lot when they're running, just some shorts and a like a tank top. And that's it. And those shoes, those running shoes. And that's because you don't want anything there that's going to, you know, catch the wind and hold you back. You're going to be streamlined and sleek so that you can get moving and run this race really well. So throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. There's a race that's marked out for us. This is a great picture of what we're called to do within our Christian lives. We're called not only to run the race marked out for us, but we're called to carry. Now, I don't have a baton here this morning, so I brought something that kind of looks like a baton. Okay? All right, so don't laugh at me. Okay, it's a paper towel holder. So, but this is what a baton kind of looks like. It's similar to this, probably a little smaller around, that they would run with. And they're carrying this baton, and they're going to give it to the next runner who's up, who's waiting for them at that leg of the race. Now, I see a number of parallels that can be drawn out for us. The race marked out for us is more like this relay race that I was talking about. And the reason I think it is because the race that is a relay race is not about a single runner. It's not about just one runner. It's about the team of runners. So it's not just about me. in the race. It's about all of us who are on the team that are in the race. It's not just about the individual runner. The race that we run is bigger than us. It's bigger than me. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 says, "For none of us lives to ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone." You recognize this, that everything we do affects someone else. I can't just live my life on my own and not think about the people around me that are affected by my life. Everyone around me, how I live, it makes a difference for them too. So I'm in this race that it's not just about me, but how I run matters for the other people that are in my life as well. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 in the Message says this: let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, spurring each other on to love and good works, one translation says. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Have you ever been encouraged by someone else where you look at their life and you go, "Wow, I love how you worship. I love seeing you stand up here and you give it all. And when I see that, it encourages me and it spurs me on to worship when I see other people do it." And you spur other people on. And it says, well, you're not in this race by yourself. See how you can spur the other person on. You're an encouragement to them running. And so they're coming along like this. And you come running by. And you go, "Come on, come on, you can do this." And you grab them by the arm and you take them. And you spur them on in their race too. And that's what we're called to do in this race. It's also the responsibility of the runner to pass the baton on to the next runner. So as a runner in the relay race, I don't just keep the baton and go, "No, my baton." No, it's my job to pass the baton on. Can you see a runner running off and going, "I got the baton"? I go, "What are you doing? What in the world are you doing? You're not supposed to keep the baton. You're supposed to give the baton." So it's your responsibility, all of us, to pass the baton on. We're carrying something important. We're carrying something as a Christian that is very important. We are going to affect the world. You, Pastor, you guys here in this church are going to do something for the world, for this community. Who knows what lives you're affecting? There are people... I know there are students that come from mainland China that come to the U of M here and that will end up in this church. And then they'll go back home. You're touching the world. Isn't that so exciting? That's very exciting. So we're going to affect the world. We have to pass on the baton. It's tragic to read sometimes. I can't forget the scriptures. So it says here in 2 Corinthians 4, "Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you." It started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up the light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in unadorned clay pots in our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. I'm carrying the baton to pass on to other people. That's my job. But it's tragic when we don't pass on that. So we carry something important. The handoff is intentional. All right, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. One moment. So I'm carrying something important. Then I pass this baton and it's intentional. I don't go, I don't go like this. Whoops. Oh, it's an accident. And you got the baton. It's like really intentional. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm passing the baton. And that's the way it has to be. In order for the baton to be passed, a runner needs to be intentional with how they pass the baton. So that's why here at this church, you make plans. How can we get the message out? How can we be intentional in letting people know? How can we pass the baton that we have to the next runner? The next runner, after finishing their leg of the race, the next runner is getting started and the baton is being passed. What are we passing on to those who come behind us? What are we handing off? And how are we handing it off? And are we being intentional about that? So we are called to make a handoff. The baton is passed forward. So the runner who's coming sees this other runner coming and begins to run, and they've got 10 meters. 10 meters to get started so that they're running full blast, and they put their hand back like this, or however they're doing it. There's like three ways that you can pass the baton as I was researching this. I've never been in a relay race, so I had to research it. Have any of you been in a relay race? Okay, yes, yes. So, and I guess there's like three ways that you can pass it, and maybe there's more in my research. And so they start running in that 10 meters, and then there's a 20-meter pass zone. And it has to be passed in that zone, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And so the runner's coming up, and they're already running, and they have their hand back, and this runner's coming up, and they're passing it forward to the next runner. And to me, that's a wonderful picture, because that's what I'm doing. I'm passing the baton forward to the next runners, to the people who are going ahead of me, that are going beyond me, that are coming up, and I pass it forward. It's in here. And it's really important how I make that handoff to them. I don't want to drop the baton. A dropped baton, from what I understand, pretty much means a lost race. And if you don't pass in the zone, it means you're disqualified. So you want to pass the baton. That takes a lot of practice to me. I was watching some of the practices. I was watching on YouTube people practice. Lots of dropped batons because they have to get it right. I have to get the timing right. I have to know when to take off. I have to know when to do this. We're called to make a handoff. And as I mentioned before, it would be crazy for one of the runners to put the baton on their mantle and go, I got the baton. Did you finish the race? Well, no, but I got the baton. That'd be crazy. That's what the difference is between a trophy and a baton. A trophy is meant to be displayed. A baton is meant to be passed on. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying to us this morning, because I really think that's what our race is like. What God has given us is not to put on our mantle or to just put on a frame on the wall. He's given us something to pass on to others who are around us and who are in the world. What are the batons that we should pass? There's a verse, and I was thinking about it earlier here. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land that he had been allotted. And after that generation died, another generation grew up that did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done in Israel. That's sad to me. And I wonder if the baton got dropped. Did he pass it? Because everybody that came behind didn't know the Lord. A whole generation. I wonder what happened there. And that's why it's important that we pass the baton. So what are the batons that we pass? One of them is our faith. In the book of 2 Timothy, so I think I'm going to go forward and backwards, maybe here a little bit. I don't know what I have. Hold on a second. Did I put all the verses in there? Okay. And then I'm going to go back. I'll just refer to those things, okay? How's that? And I'll go forward in the scriptures. Is everybody okay with that? Okay, good. That's good. I can't tell if you're smiling at me or not. I'm hoping that you're smiling and saying, okay. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says this, as Paul is talking to his young mentee, the person he's mentoring, young Timothy, he says, Timothy, this precious memory of you triggers another, your honest faith. He says, what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice and now to you. He said this faith went like this, generation to generation. And now you have it, Timothy. What a great thing that is. We have to pass our faith. We have to pass it forward and hand it on to the next one. Now, I can't believe in the Lord for anybody else. I can't say, well, I'm going to do everything to help you know Jesus and be saved. And like, I'm going to do it all. They have a saying where it's like, you can't just live on your grandmother's faith. You have to experience it for yourself, right? It has to be yours. But as a parent, I have a responsibility to pass my faith down to the next generation to help them know Jesus as their Savior, and then to the next generation. And that's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. I see that the faith has been passed on. The baton has been passed on from generation to generation. Another thing that we pass on is this idea. Let me catch up with myself. One of the things that we pass on is God's word. We pass that on. Here, Paul says to Timothy, so my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. Pass on what you heard from me. The whole congregation saying amen to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. So he says, pass on to leaders who can pass it on to somebody else. Right, Pastor? That's what you have to do. You have to pass it on to people here in the congregation who then pass it on to other people who are coming up. And that's what we're called to do, is to pass God's word on. We live in dangerous times. Can I just be honest this morning and say that, and I know some people would say that I'm old-fashioned or that I'm a fuddy-duddy. Does anybody know that word? Fuddy-duddy? Okay. Okay, teaching you a new word this morning. You know? Oh, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. Like, you just don't know anything because you're from way back there. And so, you know, you need to get up with the times. But I don't know if I do, because there's a lot of things going on in our times that are outside of God's word, that aren't right, that I really question and go, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And I'm not going to take time this morning to make a list or to enumerate them. But I think you can look around the world and go, whew, we've come a long ways away from God's word, a long ways. And that's why we have to pass on the baton to the next generation, so that my children and my grandchildren and the young people in this church know what's right and what's wrong and how they should live before the Lord God Almighty. Amen. So we're called to pass on the baton of God's word. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy here. We're also called to pass on our examples. Paul told Timothy again in 1 Timothy, he said, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all the believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. He said, Timothy, be an example. So sometimes I don't have to say anything. Sometimes it's just the way I live. and I pass it on. The way people see me is important. Yeah. And then I lead the way and it becomes an encouragement. Paul set an example for young Timothy regarding how to endure, how to handle hardship, and how to follow through in ministry. Paul says many times, he says, follow me like I follow Christ. Paul set an example for others to follow. This is how you follow the Lord. We're called to pass on the tools to get the work done. Back to the other verse that we looked at a moment ago, Paul said to train and to equip. So I'm passing on tools. These are the things that you use to help get the work of the ministry done. We're called to pass on our attitudes. Oh. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has an attitude? You know what I mean? And it's contagious. Somebody starts complaining. And then it brings up a complaint from you. And you go, yeah, and they should do that too. It's wrong. And we all start complaining. Because we pass on our attitudes. But what if somebody stepped in and they were sweet and gave a different perspective and a different attitude? They could actually change the whole atmosphere of the room. We're to pass on our attitude, the attitude of Christ. Have you ever known those people when they walk into the room, they're like a breath of fresh air? Just like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Like your smile and your attitude. And you don't say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You don't have to, because your life says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to be that kind of person. I want to pass that on to other people and show the people around me and show the next generation how to do that. We're called to pass on our words of encouragement. Can you imagine what Paul's words meant to Timothy when he wrote him? And Paul said, Timothy, Timothy, you're doing great, man. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. And remember, you know, take care of your tummy that's giving you a bad time. He told him that in 2 Timothy. Take care of those. Maybe he had ulcers. I don't know. You know, and don't let anybody despise you because you're young. You're good. You're doing great. And he encouraged him. We pass on encouragement. Man, I think about the people in my life who have encouraged me. And they've helped, the difference that they've made in my life. I still remember their words, and they touch me to this day as I think about those words in my life. It's time for me to look at the clock. Okay. Good. Doing good. So here are some racing principles as I compare these two, the Christian life and this relay race. Okay? So in the relay race, I mentioned there are some important things to remember. The 20-meter pass zone. So this baton, how far is 20 meters? Is it maybe from wall to wall? Maybe just a little more than wall to wall here, 20 meters. But still, when you're running full speed, that's just a few seconds, if that, not even. It's a couple seconds, full speed. Especially if you can do the 100 meter, you know, pretty quick. What's the record in the 100 meter? 9:58, so 10 to just under 10 seconds in the 100 meter. Okay, thank you. I appreciate you know that. So can you imagine, this is just a short distance. When I think about the pass zone in our life, we actually, if you can compare this, we actually have a lot of pass zones. So when my children are growing up in my house, that's a pass zone. And there's going to be a point in time when that's gone. And I'll never be able to go back to that pass zone. I got to get that baton in their hand in this pass zone. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's my chance. or those people that God brings into our life where they're just here for a moment, and I'm supposed to mentor them and encourage them. That's the pass zone. I'm supposed to get that baton in their hand right here because this is my chance. Because if I wait a week or I wait a month, I may not have another opportunity to get the baton in their hand. That's my pass zone. And I think it's like that for us. What are your pass zones? Now, this morning, I don't want to discourage you because today is not a day of regret. I have regrets in my life where I look back and I go, man, I missed that. I think about my son who passed away in 2006, and there, I think about that, and I've regretted things where I thought there was moments when I had a chance to do something, and I didn't take advantage of it. It was a pass zone. But today's not a day of regret. What I want you to think about is, what are the pass zones you have right now that you can pass something on to the people around you, to the next generation, to those in your household, to those in this church? Children's workers here are in a pass zone. They're passing on things, and they're being intentional about it. So where, what and who are the pass zones for you? Second is the idea of release. And for me, you would think the release would be easy. And like I said, it's challenging, you know, in this, because you've got to get it there, this hand. It's like this, and I'm running full blast, and you've got to get to that hand and get that thing laid in there so that they can take it and go. The release is important for sure, but I think about it this way for me. Sometimes it's hard for me to let go. Can you imagine this in the pass zone? It's like, you're supposed to give it to me, give it to me. And then it's going, I just can't let it go. I think about that in my own life, that sometimes it's like, I want to pass something on to you, but I care about how you do it, and I want you to do it right, and I want you to be perfect like me. And so I have trouble giving it to you. You know what I mean? Like, one of those areas for me is like, and I'm not talking about the baton now, but, you know, like one of those areas to kind of compare is like painting. I don't trust everybody to paint because I've met a lot of bad painters that told me they were good painters. And so I go, no, no, no. They go, do you need help? I go, no. I'll paint it myself because I know how to cut in and I know how to not drip on the carpet and all of that. And sometimes it's hard for us to hand things off. You know what I mean? But if you don't hand it off, they'll never learn. If you don't give them a chance, they'll never be able to do it. If you do it all for them, they'll never learn it for themselves. And that's part of what's happened even in our world and in the United States, is that sometimes parents do everything for their children and never give them a chance to do it for themselves. And so they grow up fully dependent. We need to pass it off. You need to learn how to do this. Paul says to Timothy, I know you're struggling, and I know you're learning a lot, and I know you're not perfect, but do it. You do this ministry. You can do this. I'll stand beside you. I'll help you along the way. I'll show you some things, but you need to do it, and I need to release it to you. I need to trust, because when you pass a baton, there's trust involved. I trust you with the baton that you're going to carry it to the next leg. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me sometimes, to trust that into the hand of the next person. But that's part of what has to happen here, is the release. You notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, Paul uses this word. He says, entrust. He said, entrust to faithful men who will be able to pass on to others. So there's that entrusting. Don't do it all yourself, Timothy. Entrust some of it to other people. Yeah? That's how we get the work done. The third idea, which I love, and we find that in Hebrews, is cheering on the team. So when I come up and I'm running and then I pass it to the next person, I don't just go, okay, I'm so glad my part is done. No. They pass it on like this, and then they go, go, come on, man. You got this. Yeah, go. And they're cheering on the next person. The whole team is cheering everybody on. We encourage each other by that. I am grateful for the people in my life who've believed in me, who've entrusted me, and then stood on the sidelines and said, good job. Oh, man, you got this. Yes. Oh, go. And cheered for me. Because what it does is it just exhilarates. And it gives you energy. Yeah. So we need that cheering after the handoff. And that's what they do, is they cheer for their teammates after they hand it off. And then when they're finished the race, all the teammates go up and they, you know, they're hugging, congratulating each other, and cheering for one another. Ephesians 5, 16 and 17 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then also in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The last thing I want to share with you is the anchor. So what I understand, and those of you that have run relay races can help me with this or correct me if I'm wrong here this morning, so, or just smile and nod and pretend that I know what I'm talking about. but I understand from the little bit of work I did on this that the final runner is called the anchor. And usually they're the fastest and the strongest of the runners. And you want them to be, because if there's any little bit of time or distance that needs to be made up, you want that runner to be the best so that they can help make up that and get your team to the finish line. The anchor. You know who our anchor is, right? It's Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So I'm not perfect. Just ask my wife. She will tell you. No, don't ask my wife, okay? I take that back. But in the end, even the mistakes I've made, the times I've tripped up, the anchor comes through in the relay race. Sometimes I've even been speaking, and I walk away from a service and go, oh. My wife will say, oh, how'd it go? And I go, I think it was the worst service I've ever done. But somebody will come to me, or they'll say something, they'll say, God really touched me. God spoke to me. It's because he's the anchor. He makes up for where I lack. He's speaking even when I can't. He's helping me with the pass of the baton. I've done all I can, but then he takes it the rest of the way into somebody's heart, into their life. He's got to do the rest. I'm so grateful today for the anchor that Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 talks about. Back to that verse. In the New Living Translation, it says this. So since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So he's our champion. He's the one that gets us across the finish line. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for that. So this morning, here's your baton. It's lying there. What will you do? Will you pick it up? Will you pass it on? How will you do that? What zone are you in? What past zone? How can you pass it on to the people around you? That's what God has called us to do. Now, in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul the Apostle was his last letter that he would write to his young protege, to Timothy. I've imagined what that must have been like. He was in prison, you know, when he wrote this letter. He says that he was in chains. I don't know what those chains were like, but they probably weren't chains that were like, you know, that you hang a lamp from, those light chains, or those plastic chains that they put up when they're trying to keep you out of an aisle. These are heavy chains. It may be something that's a little more similar to what Paul wore. And he's dictating a letter, the last one that we know about, to a young man that he's entrusting. He's passing the baton on. I've taken some of these ideas and compressed them for us here this morning. And maybe it sounded something like this. Yes. Yes. I thank God for the sincere faith that I see in you. A faith that once lived in those who've gone before you. I want you to take advantage of this moment. For these are days when you need to stir up the gift of God that lives within you. Fan it into flame, fan it into flame. Keep it white hot. Remember, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. You then, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Flee the evil desires of youth. Earnestly contend for the faith that once was delivered to the saints. For there will be perilous times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. But you have known the things that you have been instructed of and have become convinced of. You have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So do your best to present yourself to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. For all scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and instruction in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For this reason, I give you this charge. know the word. Live in the word. Study the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. For a time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship like a good soldier. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. But I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall award me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. My time has come to a close. But yours is just beginning. Know the word. Live by the word. Study the word. Preach the word. So maybe it was something like that. As Paul's friend was writing down his words, Paul had bad eyesight. He called himself Paul the Aged. He was in chains. But he was passing the baton. He was handing it off. Timothy, preach the word. Stay in the word. Because we live in dangerous times. This morning, I just want to pass the baton. And I hope that you will too. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit. I thank you the way that you speak to us, God. I thank you for your word and how your word penetrates into those deep places in our lives. Jesus, I ask this morning that you would help us to be baton passers. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of the zone that we're in, to be intentional and to hand it off, and then to stand there and cheer on our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can finish this race together. It's not a me thing, it's a we thing. I thank you for it. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor. Bless him, God. Give him wisdom. Lord, I pray that you'd use this church, Lord, to touch the world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for sharing God's words with these wonderful pictures we can remember in our hearts, and they're going to be executed, and may we can pass our faith, God's words, our life for testimony and for touch to whoever we touch and to glorify God's name. 感谢 Matthew 牧师能够这样传讲这么美好的神的话语。 让我们那个能够传我们的信仰，我们的神的话语，我们的生命，给我们一些能够接触的人，在抓住 各种机会，让我们能够传扬神的神的美好的信息。我们一起来接受神的祝福。神，我们感谢您让我们这个有这机会，愿上帝的慈爱、耶稣基督的恩惠、圣灵的交通常与我们同在，直到永永远远。阿们。